Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke and welcome back to the Go Getters podcast brought to you by Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io and our friends over at On Milwaukee. Just a quick reminder, we have that big giveaway going on right now through the end of the month. So head to ggmm.io and click the Go Getters tab. We're giving away $1,600 worth of prizes, including local business gift cards, Go Getters bottles, more stuff. So again, head to ggmm.io and just click on the Go Getters tab. Today, I'm really excited for this episode. We have Rich Tennyson, the CEO of EUA here. Rich, welcome.
Thanks, Richie.
So for those of you who don't know Rich, very involved in the community, he's the past chair of the Zoological Society. He is the president of the third best golf club in the Milwaukee area, Blue Mound Country Club. I docked you to third best because the members do have to put up with Big Mike, Mike Kinsella, or else you might be up there a little higher.
Yeah, that's the criteria, I can understand. And also, I appreciate the promotion as CEO. I'm currently president of EUA.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'm just trying to hype you up.
Yeah,
sounds
that's
better,
good.
Right?
That's good.
All right, so you reached out last week after I published that article on my kind of opening up about my love-hate relationship with alcohol and how I had very positive early experiences in high school and college and how a lot of people can relate to that. And it kind of serves as a crutch throughout their life. And I told some funny stories, but it was very kind of relatable and raw. And you reached out after that. And, we were golfing last year with Big Mike and, at Blue Mound, and you guys were having a couple drinks. And I was like, no, I don't drink during the week, which is difficult on the golf course because I love drinking on the golf course. But it led to us having a conversation about kind of some of the anxiety issues I had and I was battling. And then you opened up and shared like a similar story and experience that you had, I think, when you were around my age. And it was cool. I appreciated that conversation when we were out there.
And I appreciated just how open you were. And then I listened to your podcast on that. And that's what brought us here today after those conversations, really sharing and seeing how people responded to what you shared.
Yeah.
And how talking about it really helped others. And so that's the hope here.
Yeah, and it was cool to hear it from you because I've known who you were and kind of looked up to you as a business leader in the community, but it wasn't what I was expecting. And then the more you open up, the more people reach out with stories and you realize like everyone's going through their own version of that. So it was cool talking to you about those issues. But this time when you reached out, you told me that although you've never been a heavy drinker, you were doing dry January this year, but not by choice. In early December, you were diagnosed with multiple melanoma. It's a rare disease, less than 200,000 cases per year in the US, damages the bones, immune system, kidneys, red blood cells, and you just had your fifth week of chemo treatment and you're battling through it right now.
Yeah, so I wanted to share the story for a few reasons, and they sound similar. So there's the skin cancer that you can get, right? Which sounds like myeloma, but it's
myeloma.
Different.
No, I said melanoma.
You said melanoma,
okay.
Which is that
myeloma.
Okay. But myeloma is a form of blood cancer. So the way it started, and one of the reasons why I want to share the story is, we have a tendency, right? Especially, I think everybody, but especially men, you get a symptom and you put things off. And cancer is something that can really disguise itself in a lot of different forms. And so I first noticed some things this spring where I was laboring just a little bit more, like walking up a hill, whatever. And I just equated it to, geez, I really haven't exercise since the end of last year. And there's always reasons you can justify what happened. So we get through the summer, a little more of that, but you don't think too much of it. And it's probably overdue for a physical, but I can put it off a little bit. Well, then my wife and I went out, a client invited us out to Montana to fly fish in early October. And we went out and we extended our trip and did some hiking. So again, we're 7,000 feet up. I'm fine in the flats. Climb the hill in like 10 yards and I'm grabbing a tree. Now I could say that it's the elevation, but my wife's going fine. she's way ahead of me, waiting up for me around every turn. So I knew something was up, but still, again, from a hard-headed standpoint, you're thinking, okay, I knew I had had my heart checked earlier the previous year and everything was great. So I wasn't concerned about my heart, thinking, is this something with maybe a long-term carrier COVID that's affecting the respiratory system? Yeah, I should really call the doctor. We get back home. We've got to drive down to Florida in November. So again, just excuses to put things off. So finally, another a friend of mine who's my doctor, a Blue Mountain member, Terry Hughes, I reach out to him and I explain what's going on. And he said, okay, we'll get you in right after Thanksgiving, because I was just out somewhere else. So I put it off again. December 4th, I've got a scheduled physical. He said, but I tell you what, the Monday after Thanksgiving on November 30th, I want you to go get all this blood work because something's not right. So I went first thing in the morning, got the blood work, went back home, worked from home remotely, probably about 4:30, because I was also getting fatigued. And the thing that really tripped it, even after those other trips, when I got back from Florida, like literally I would walk up a flight of stairs and I'd be winded. So clearly something's off.
And did you have COVID?
No,
I didn't. So this isn't like lingering issues.
So it's not at all. So I ended up testing. I've never had COVID, don't have the antibodies. And so I did my blood work, worked that day, like crashed to like 4 o'clock. I slept on the basement floor. I wake up to my phone going off and I look and it's Terry, my doctor. It's like 5:15. I see that I had gotten a text from him a half an hour earlier saying, call me stat. He calls me. I pick up. He's like, Rich, you got to go to the hospital right now. I said, what? He said, well, one of the tests came back and your hemoglobin is at 4.6. And for an adult male, it should be between 14 and 17. So
what is that?
Basically, it's your body's ability to carry oxygen and it's a cell count issue. So if, for instance, if your hemoglobin right now is 15,
yeah.
If you drop tomorrow to 4.6, you'd be dead. So this had occurred over a long period of time and my body kept adjusting. So it was an extremely low score. I'm alarmed, like, okay, what does that mean? He said, you know, there's no bleeding, no, because you look for an internal organ that's something where you're losing blood. And so I go upstairs and my wife, we're like 5 minutes away from dinner being done. I'm like, hey, I'm supposed to go to the hospital now. She's like, well, can we have dinner for it? I'm like, yeah, if I'm going to be there, we probably should eat. So, so we ate dinner. He had everything set up at Community More. I went to the emergency room. I got transfusions right away. And the next morning I woke up and I felt my score went up to 6.7. I actually walked the halls. I walked the steps. I felt a lot better, but still didn't know what was causing it. So later that day, an oncologist came in and said, hey, you know, and they're doing blood draws and different tests. He said, I looked at your blood under the microscope and I'm 90%+ sure you've got multiple myeloma, which I never heard that before. So it's all of a sudden he says cancer. So you're like, oh, okay. I wasn't expecting that diagnosis. Then they kept me in, did a bone marrow biopsy to confirm, ended up going back out for a PET scan. I'm home on Thursday and immediately I didn't want to dive down the rabbit hole of doing all the internet research because I didn't want to, you know, there's a lot of different places that can go, but I did do research on the experts. And the one thing I would mention, and I think this goes to how blessed we are in this area of having Frater in the Medical College, Ascension, Advocate Aurora, ProHealth, UW. We've got an incredible healthcare system for general health. And then we have an incredible system of specialists in each of those organizations. And it just so happens that Frater in the Medical College, cancer is obviously a major specialty, and specifically blood cancer. They are the international repository. So people from around the world send in what they find, and they're at the forefront of what's happening in this area. And I researched and was able to connect with Dr. Hari, who's considered one of the top 8 multiple myeloma oncologists in the world. So right here, 5 miles from my house. So was able to get an appointment scheduled that following Monday, started chemo that Wednesday, and was on the path to treatment. And so now I'm almost halfway through chemo. I've been tolerating it really well. The numbers are good. But during the process, he described a, look, the first phase is chemo. Second phase, there's three options, a bone marrow transplant, stem cell immunotherapy, or there's a clinical trial on what is really going to be and has become cutting edge game changer for cancer. And that's called CAR T cell therapy, where your T cells are what fight your cancer cells. Well, when cancer takes over, your T cells can't do that anymore. So they will harvest your T cells, send them off to be genetically modified, and they come back as like cancer destroyers. And it's early on. There have been some that have been approved by the FDA for leukemia. And right now we're in clinical trials on the myeloma end. But there was a twist. So he said, hey, I think you're higher risk. But so far, most of the work in the last 2 years has been for people that have had multiple relapses that qualify for this trial. But he said, now it's opening up to people that are at high risk. So Gene and I go home, my wife, because we don't know yet where I'm at because they're still doing the studies. And he says, we said, well, okay, it's sort of a double-edged sword. Like, you don't want to be high risk, but if this therapy is really good, if you can qualify, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So came back at the next meeting and said, yeah, you're in the high risk category because of X, Y, and Z. You would qualify for the study. Here's the information. So that for me is an option that I'm meeting with him again next week. And that would take place in April, if that goes ahead. And then you go into a maintenance mode if all goes well.
So what was it like when you first received that news, just mentally? Were you scared for your life? What, you know, because you realize you have cancer, and as you were saying, you didn't want to go down the WebMD or the Google route, because of course that's just going to give you a shitload of anxiety probably. What's it been like?
So he was reassuring in that he said, look, don't quit your job, don't sail the world. You know, this is something that it's not curable, but you can live with, again, depending upon how this treatment goes. So that gave my confidence a boost, plus being, you know, although my kids wouldn't call me young, you know, more on the younger, healthy side.
Right.
Because when you look at, nobody's the average, nobody's the mean, right? Mm-hmm. So we're all different in terms of how we handle these things. So I made a decision to just stay positive through it all. And again, everybody goes through it differently. I wasn't given, hey, you've got 2 months to live, anything like that. I was given a good prognosis. So I actually, it seems odd to say, but I felt relief that, you know, I've lived a good life. I certainly hope that I can live a long life. But to have this time, if I would compare myself to somebody who got their life taken away in an instant in a car accident or something like that. Like, I've got time right now. So I've actually been able to maintain a positive attitude. And I think those are three factors that are critical no matter what you're battling, right? You've got to have a good care team, and I've got a phenomenal care team. Family, friends, just a great support network of people that are positive. And then just your own attitude. And I think all those things factor into how I'm going to get through this.
And you said it's not curable.
Correct.
So is this something people can live with till they're 90, or does it eat away at you, or how does this go?
Yeah. So it depends, right? In terms of what are the mutated cells and how quickly can it come back? So that's one of the exciting things about the CAR T cell therapy, is the ability to keep it at bay longer, because somebody can go through a bone marrow transplant and there's complications that can occur right away on that. But also, it takes 5 years before you're considered in remission, but there's always a chance that things can come back. So you have to have this maintenance check-in afterwards and try to keep it in check, but there's no guarantee that it won't come back.
What's it been like for you? You're a dad, you're a family guy, you're very involved in the community, you're the president of a relatively large company. How's everyone taking it around you?
So the toughest thing, and I would say this, and I think others that have gone through similar thing, it's tougher on others. Like, it was tougher on my wife I think it's easier to go through it than to be the loved one that's impacted. And so the toughest thing was calling the kids, because you don't know their reaction and how they're going to take it. So that was tough. But then, was able to explain everything. And again, with that positive outlook and sharing everything. So the transparency is critical and sharing the information with them. And then it was an easy decision. You know, I've got the EUA work family. So we do weekly communications about what's happening in the firm because most of us are still remote. We've got people in the offices, but it's a mix, right? And so I shared the exact story of how things happened, where things were at, and the plan to get through this. And, you know, I'm still engaged. I'm still working remotely right now. Obviously, I have a little bit of shutdown in April, but I said, be careful because now I'm probably going to be more involved with this. And if there was a time to go through something like this, I mean, with most people remote, this has been very easy in that regard. And then the support and the feedback and the appreciation you get from people by just being open and honest, and then that's how we run our firm, was great. And that also was shared with clients that I work with, many of whom have become good friends over the years. And so the outpouring of support from people and appreciation of the updates, I'll give a lot of people a text update. You know, Wednesday is my chemo day and I'll do a song of the week and a little message and just keep people updated. And that's been fun. And so it's been a journey.
It's been a fast journey, obviously. It's been 2 months, right? Yeah. Essentially, maybe three, maybe closer to three, but no, two. Not even beginning of December, right?
Yeah. My first chemo treatment was December 7th.
Yeah, I remember you started feeling the effects in October, but I think anyone would have mistaken that for COVID right now. I know when I had COVID, I had lingering breath issues or being out of shape or whatever that might have
been. Which, by the way, I should have checked out anyway.
Yeah. Probably. How has this changed your perspective on life?
You're definitely almost an instant appreciation for everything and just a slow down and, you know, more patience and, you know, because none of us know, right? Whether you have cancer or not, how much time we have on the earth.
Right.
But this brings a little bit more of a finality that, hey, it may be sooner rather than later or maybe later, but it's a little more hard hitting to really focus on what's important, you know, in terms of, you know, family, friends, and certainly work has been very important in terms of just staying engaged because the last thing you want to do is just sit around and think about it.
Right.
So doing positive things, whether it affects the community, your business, your relationships, you know, all those just take on a different and more impactful meaning. And it's interesting because it shouldn't take something like this to do that, right?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of times it does, though. I'm even, you know, thinking of myself during this conversation and how stressed I can get if, you know, things are going wrong at work, which if you're trying to get a company to the next level, there's so many stressful things, or I go, you know, play like shit in a golf tournament and I'm all pissed off at myself. And it's like, here's you battling cancer. Like that stuff just does not matter in the big scheme of things at all. Has that, and you seem like a relatively calm, you know, level-headed guy to begin with, at least me knowing you. Has your kind of day-to-day outlook just changed? And is there overarching pieces of advice that you would give to other people on how they go about their daily lives?
Yeah, so it's interesting in that regard because I also had the other good news on this type of cancer is it's not hereditary, right? So it's not being passed on to my kids. It's either from just a natural occurrence in the body or different things that have impacted environmentally that would cause this. So that was good. I did have I'm the youngest of 11 kids. I had a brother that passed away from complications of colon cancer. So I started getting tested at 40, but it's amazing how many people still don't do preventative testing. So part of this, as we talked, was sort of a public service announcement. Like one, you know, if you have things that don't seem right, get them checked out sooner rather than later. I could address this 6 months earlier.
Yeah.
Right?
And And as, especially as men, I think, and you brought this up earlier, you're taught to, you know, to sack up and to play through the pain and right. to fight through it. And that's kind of the, just how a lot of us are wired, opposed to like going to a doctor is the last thing I personally want to do. I want to stay as far away from that as possible. But right. yeah, that's a good public service announcement.
And like I say, it's you often, those symptoms are masked to say, oh, well, that's just I must have strained a muscle, or I must have did this, or
right.
you can
right.
make excuses all day long. And then if you do go to the doctor, you know, be a strong advocate, because there may be some doctors that say, oh, well, you're having this, take some prednisone or do this or do that. I mean, I'm a big believer now in really getting, for those who can do it and can afford it, a more robust annual workup for a physical, for blood work, just to keep ahead of it, right? And it can prevent so much.
Yeah. You really don't know. Is there anything else that you want to say to people, or you want to leave people that you've learned through this, or that you just want to get out there?
Well, I think for everybody, if you're facing something like this, whether it's anxiety, cancer, whatever you may be going through, you know, for everybody, it's an individual journey, right? And some people may want to reach out to a lot of people and learn different things. I've chosen, I had a sister who had breast cancer, and she's a survivor, and she had called and said, hey, I know some people that have this. Do you want to reach out and talk to this person? And it was interesting, because my initial reaction was, actually, you know what? I don't, because while I think there may be some things that are helpful, I don't know how that person dealt with it. And I've got a clear path on how I'm choosing to deal with it. And if somebody's going to be, oh, this was terrible, or geez, my friends wouldn't talk to me, like, I don't want to hear any of that. I mean, I'm just truly staying down the positive path and big believer that that's going to help. But everybody, it's their own journey, and everybody's going to be different.
What are you doing to stay positive? Because at the beginning, you said you're consciously making a choice to be positive. And I think mindset in life is so important. And you're obviously going through a really difficult situation right now. What are there things you do on a daily basis, or is this just...
Well, so a couple different things. First of all, I think it's how you're wired individually. I mean, I'm a big believer that you can surround yourself with people that give energy or take energy.
It makes a big difference.
And I only want to be around positive people. Like, I don't want to develop a friendship with somebody that's just complaining all the time or woe is me. So I think who you surround yourself with makes a huge difference, because you are influenced by your environment and the people you choose to be with.
Friends, family, work. Work, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I'm blessed with great people at EUA, with a great family and great support network. So that first and foremost helps tremendously. Then it's a matter of, you know, how I choose to greet each day, right? It's not to say it won't happen along this journey, but I haven't been, you know, brought down into negative thoughts and things like that. Like I say, it may happen in the future, but the other thing that I've done is I'll listen to some subliminal tapes that I have on attitude, health and wellness, achievement, things like that, that I've done over the years. And I'm a big believer that, you know, what you feed your mind consciously and subconsciously is a big difference on, or makes a big impact on, how you view the world.
Yeah, 100%. At the beginning, you've said you've been lucky and you've lived a good life up to this point. What are you most proud of?
I mean, certainly it starts with family. I've got a wonderful wife of 29 years. And we have three beautiful kids. Julia is 25, Nicholas, who's going to be graduating from Madison, 22. And then Natalie, our youngest, who my wife is actually out in New York. She's going to Fordham Lincoln Center for global business. And she did a remote learning this fall and now is out there this spring. So a great family, you know, getting involved in the community, trying to make a difference in everything we do, whether it's through our work and being able to create spaces for people to be their best, or reaching out and helping those in need in the community. Those are the important things, right? I mean, what do you leave? What's your mark on this world? And how do you make an impact for others?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I'm grateful you came on. I'm inspired just listening to you. Appreciate everything you do for the community. And you'll definitely be in my thoughts and prayers as you continue this journey. And any way I can help out, I'm here for you.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Hey everyone, it's your host Richie Burke, and thanks so much for tuning into this episode. I feel really lucky to have this platform, the Go Getters Podcast, and all you guys that listen to it. I feel lucky to put out all the episodes, but there are some that come out, and you know they're on a different level. And I'm really grateful that Rich gave me the opportunity to put this story out and came in and just had an open, transparent conversation. And everyone should have got some great takeaways out of that, no matter where you're at in life or what you're struggling with. Just the way that he's taken this news that is new, that just happened a month and a half ago, kind of out of nowhere, and how he's intent on approaching each day with positivity and staying strong through this. Everyone can apply that to their lives. So again, thanks to Rich for coming on. Thank you guys for all your support with the show. I genuinely appreciate it. And just a reminder that this is brought to you by Go Get It Marketing and Media and our friends over at On Milwaukee. And thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.